Shabbat Shalom. It seems like every week we hear yet another story about an abuse of power. And each of these stories hurt. Every one a violation of justice. It makes us question, does having a position of power lead to a distorted sense of self? This quandary is not new. It was addressed all the way back in biblical times. In fact, this week's Torah portion tries to put forth a sort of code to address this problem. People in positions of power are heavily restricted in order to provide desperately needed checks and balances. For example, about kings, we read, "A king of Israel shall not keep many horses or send people back to Egypt to add to his horses, and he shall not have many wives lest his heart go astray, nor shall he amass silver and gold to excess." When we see that he is seated on his royal throne, he shall have a copy of the Torah with him at all times, and he will read it every day so that he will learn to revere God. And therefore, he will not act with arrogance towards his fellows or deviate from the Torah to the right or the left. Similarly, the priests also have rules. We read, "The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no territorial portion. They shall live only off of their portion of what is left over from the sacrificial offerings, and they will have no land among their fellow tribes." In these verses, we see that both kings and priests have regulations that keep their power in check in order to make it difficult for them to become arrogant or to abuse their power. This week's Torah portion also includes the phrase tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, justice, justice you shall pursue. Why does it say the word justice twice? Perhaps the first mention of justice implies communal justice, what we think of when we're talking about tikkun olam or social action. Yet this kind of justice is not enough. We also require a personal practice of justice. Each of us has our own pitfalls to avoid, our own selfish impulses to overcome. All of our relationships involve power dynamics. Some are pretty easy to identify, such as parents and young children, bosses and employees, whereas other power dynamics are much more hidden, such as our interactions with a supermarket clerk, or a waiter, or a police officer, or a doctor. Every interaction contains power dynamics. And when we find power is tipped in our direction, how do we handle that? Do we act with an air of entitlement or generosity? We may think that we would never take advantage of another or do something that would make somebody lesser than us, yet a sense of entitlement can lead us all into slipping into murky ethical areas, from large articulations of power to the smallest acts of entitlement, such as asking an admin staff who works for our company to make copies of something unrelated to work, or expecting a security guard to hold the door open for us as we walk through. In theory, we're all on the right side of things. We might think that we will be just. We, of course, are for equality. We are for fair treatment. We stand up for each other's rights. But in practice, standing up for another can be a challenge when we perceive that demanding more for another might mean less for us. A Jewish folktale on this topic. There once was a man who went out into the world to seek justice. Somewhere he was certain true justice must exist, but he never found it. So he set out on a lifelong quest until finally he came upon a cottage that was filled with hundreds of shelves, and on every shelf there was dozens of oil-burning candles. Some were in precious gold holders, while others were in modest holders of clay or tin. Some were filled to the brim with oil, and the flames burned brightly, while others had very little oil left. A caretaker appeared before him, and the man said, "I've been looking everywhere for justice, and here I am in your cottage. Tell me, what are all these candles?" And the caretaker said, "Each of these candles is the candle of a person's soul. As long as the candle continues to burn, that person remains alive. But when the candle burns out, that person's soul takes leave of the world." The man asked, "Can you show me the candle of my soul?" "Follow me," the caretaker said, and he showed the man a shelf and pointed to a simple candle in a clay holder. And he said, this here is the candle of your soul." The man looked at the flickering candle and felt the blood drain from his face with fright. The oil was almost burnt out. Could he be at the end of his life without realizing it? But then he noticed the candle next to his was also in an almost identical clay holder. Yet that one was full of oil, its wick long and straight, its flame burning brightly. "And whose candle is that?" asked the man. The caretaker responded, "I can only reveal each person's candle to that individual." And then he turned and left. The man stood there quaking. He looked at his own candle and saw that there were only drops of oil left. And then he looked again next to his candle, and he saw the other candle so full of oil. And a terrible thought entered his mind. He stepped back and searched for the caretaker in every corner of the cottage, but didn't see him anywhere. And so he picked up the candle next to his own. He lifted it up above his own. At that instant, the caretaker appeared out of nowhere and gripped his arm with a grip like iron. And the caretaker said, "Is this the kind of justice that you are seeking?" The man closed his eyes because it hurt so much. And when he opened his eyes, the caretaker was gone. And the cottage and the candles had all disappeared. And he found himself standing alone in a forest and heard the trees whispering his fate. The story is extreme. It says that our lives, our very lives, are no more worthy than someone else's. But if we take the pursuit of justice, of equality, really seriously, then we need to take in that each one of us is no more important than any other person. And when we seek to elevate our position we often diminish someone else's. For example, and this is for a whole other sermon for another time, when we don't pay attention to climate change and pursue actions that are hurtful to the environment, we are diminishing the future. This is how power works. Take from one side, and it affects the other. We are approaching the high holy days, when we are told that God weighs out our deeds on a scale of justice. And we are told that we have the power to choose blessing or curse. Let us choose blessing. And let us use our power wisely. Let us pursue justice. Justice for a more equal and ethical world. Shabbat Shalom.